Well, we're going to open up the Word, and I'm going to pray before we do. Lord Jesus, thank You so much that we get to fellowship. Thank You, Lord, that we get to worship You. Thank You, God, that we get to depend on You, that You are victory. Lord, that what You said gives life, that what You said gives us hope. Lord, that what You said that we can depend on, we can bank on it. Lord, we can invest our life in and never worry that the market's going to change and it lose value. That it will maintain, and not only maintain as we invest our life in it, it will increase value. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going through a book called 1 John. There's three of them. It's in the New Testament. At the end of the New Testament, a smaller book, they call them letters, or old schools call epistles. The letters that John wrote, and he wrote three of them, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. The other two that we're going to be going through are really short, a single chapter. The other one that John wrote was the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the first four books of the Bible. And so he wrote John, but we've been just looking at 1 John, and we've been going through a few weeks because I believe in allowing God to teach us. The goal is not just to read through the book. The goal is for us to consider what God wants us to say to our hearts. And there's time that we need to take time to reflect on what God's saying, to say, okay, Lord, what are You saying? What are You doing? And sometimes I just take, you know, four verses at a time. Maybe it's just a thought. And honestly, I don't know until I study, until I'm writing. And a couple weeks ago, I wrote enough for two sermons. I was like, okay, nope, we're just doing this part, and we're going to save this for another time. And so it's opportunities as God, as I read, and maybe there's things going on that God highlights to my heart, and so I'll end up doing some more study and thinking about ways to say it and what is it that God's kingdom looks like. And so as we're coming down to the end, and 1 John has five chapters in it. And so we're in the fifth chapter, and we started it a few weeks ago, but we're coming down to this last few verses, beginning with verse 13 and going through the end of 21. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, and it's up on the screen or in your app. You can read with me. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. John, as he comes down to this last kind of conclusion of what he's written, he said, there's a reason why I've written these things to you. He said, there's a purpose that I want you to understand. As I've written these things to you, I want this message to get through to the church, because John's a pastor. He's not just an apostle, a messenger of God, but he's pastoring churches. He's done church plants like Paul, and he's pastoring churches. And so as he's write this letter to this church that he's planted, he wants to communicate something to them. He wants to communicate confidence, and in this case, have confidence in your future. As believers, we can have confidence in our future. He says what? So that you may know that you have eternal life. This confidence comes from the saving power of Jesus Christ. Not of what we do, but what He's done. Just like we celebrated communion. And that's that part of that celebration. Remembering that our confidence is in what Jesus done, not in what we do. This confidence is based on the object of our faith. The object of faith. Our faith is as good as what you believe in. So if you have faith in this clunker car that's going to get you across town, you can have amazing faith. But if that car's running on two out of the four cylinders, chances are you're not going to make it very far. You're going to say, man, I got huge faith that's going to get me there. When that car just poops out on the side of the road, you're like, wow, I had huge faith. Whereas we put our dependence in God, we know that He's going to go the distance. We know that He is true to His Word. We know that He's righteous. You know that what He says is true and right. We have understanding the sureness of Jesus. We understand the certainty of what's ahead. I love what He said in John 14 as He's talking to His disciples about confidence. He says, I'm leaving you. He says what? I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you may be where I am. We can know. And Jesus says, hey, you guys can know. Hang loose. Stay diligent. Stay faithful. Know that I'm going to go prepare a place for you, but I am coming back for you. I am coming back for you. You can know that. Have confidence in your future. John talks about something else too. He says, not just have confidence in your future, but have confidence in your prayer. Have confidence in your prayer so that you may have confidence in approaching God. Being confident is like, I just think about those times we've stood at a door that you wanted to go visit somebody. And first you're like, oh, I don't know if the good time's still a little late. I didn't warn them. And you're standing at the door. You're like, is this a good time? Are they going to welcome me? Am I going to catch them in the middle of a fight? You know, what am I hearing? Anybody home? The dog barking. The confidence to knock and wondering if they'll welcome you. What John is saying, we can be confident when we approach God in prayer that He will open the door to us. He will always welcome us. We can be confident knowing that we're welcomed by the Father in heaven, that we're adopted children of God, that we're adopted sons and daughters, that He loves us, that He cares about us. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. What does He say? I call you friends. I call you friends. I welcome you. You are co-heirs with Me of the kingdom of God. I love Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. To knock on that door, you know, just some of us get shy about our prayer requests. It's like, ah, oh, I feel like I only go to God when I got troubles. Well, don't just go to Him when you got troubles. But be confident that when you have troubles, He will help you. Say, Lord, I need Your help. I don't know how to think about this. I don't know what's going on inside of me. I don't know the circumstance came up that overwhelms me, that's beyond my ability. Say, God, help me. The worst prayer that we can make is not to make one. Not to make one. To be confident that we know that we're going to be welcomed. Essentially, John and Jesus too, he talks about it. It's a prayer that we will get whatever we ask. As long as what? What's the qualification? As long as you pray according to God's will. According to God's will. This whole chapter, this whole book of 1 John has been talking about what? Relationship with God. Walking in the light. John said what? God is light. When we walk in that light, we walk in the light of God's giving to say, hey, this stuff is dark. We either walk towards darkness or we will walk towards light. He says, walk in that light and you're walking in fellowship with Me. And that place of fellowship and conversation is to know somebody. To know that, hey, this is what they would want. I think about when Jackie and I first got married. It's that, you know, besides big, heavy-duty theological things like which way does the toilet paper roll and do you just squish your toothpaste? Or hey, my grandson was amazed. I have this little thing I got at the dollar store. You put the end of the toothpaste in it and you roll it up and it squeezes. I thought it was cool, but it's really cool because my grandson said, Grammy, where did Grampy get this? This is like the coolest invention ever. And so we've solved the squishing the toothpaste in the middle. So those are really heavy things. So once we got through with those problems, you know, we moved on to, it's like, we used to check in every decision, you know, major, bigger decisions, like, well, what do you want to do about this? As we have gotten to know each other, We will come up with circumstances and decisions because we know each other. We're confident in making that decision in the moment because we know each other's heart. It's like we both, I love when we have conversations about decisions because we will wrestle through the exact same thoughts sometimes. A circumstance will come up and I'll say, you know, when I heard that invitation, my first thought was, I'm tired and I don't want to do that. And you know what Jackie says? Me too. I had that exact same thought. I'm tired. I want to do that. But I heard the Lord say, this is so right and good. This is exactly what we need to invest in. Me too. I thought that too. And as we have those interactions, as we walk and say, God, we want to do your will, not our will, we get confident. That's the same thing as we get to know God, as we walk in that light, as we walk in that relationship, we are praying and asking God to give what we already know is his will. And you know, like some people say, well, why doesn't God just give it anyways? If he knows what we need, right, why does he just give it anyways? Is God about giving stuff or changing circumstances? Or is God about changing hearts? God could answer in a moment those things that trouble you, and you would never know that you needed God to help you. That process that we got to say, God, I don't have the answers. I don't know what to do. God says, and I can remember more times than once praying about things, and God said, it's about time. You know, you've been trying to figure this out on your own. Would you come to me, ask me what you need to do as we pray to know God's heart. To know God's heart is to ask in agreement with his desires and plans for his name and for his glory, not my glory. I just think about, is God honored by giving you more stuff or by the change in attitudes? Is God honored by how good you live or about your obedience? Sometimes we focus on the wrong things. Like Jesus, what did he say? He was human, yet without sin. Did he want to go to the cross? He didn't want to go to the cross. Three times he prayed, God, man, if there's a plan B, if there's another way to accomplish this, and then what did he say? Not my will, but your will. You know, that's the best kind of prayer that we can pray is speaking what we desire. Wanting, letting the Lord know, say, God, I don't want to go through this. Is there another way that I get to learn this? Lord, would you provide it, man, but not my will, but your will, Lord. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. Jesus said the same thing. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It just, to be so in line, God, would you help us have hearts that are lined up with your will so that our prayer requests aren't about pain reduction? As I was convicted recently, and you've heard me say before, that most of my prayers are about getting rid of pain. God, take this from me. Get this guy fired, you know. Help me make more money. I was like, God, would you? God knows before we ask. God loves us. Like John said, God is love. That means everything that's going on is a reflection of God's love. And it doesn't always feel like love, does it? It feels painful. But God wants our hearts to change and say, God, would you help me see what I'm supposed to see here? I don't want this guy to... If he gets fired, I won't be heartbroken about it. But is there an attitude, a kindness, a different idea about this person, what he's going through, that needs to change in me? God, would you show me what that is? That's praying according to my will or to God's will? That's praying according to God's will. It's a process of lining up with his will. Let's go on, verse 16. If you see your brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There's a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. What in the world, John? There's different kinds of sin. You said I'm supposed to pray about this sin and not about this sin. There's a sin that leads to death and a sin that doesn't lead to death. I'm going to couch this in having confidence in being in a community of believers. And I go, no, what does that have to do with anything? I rewrote this confidence several times because this is really thick. There's a lot of things going on here that John is preaching to the church. The first is that when we see a believer in sin, we should pray for him. We should pray that for God's light to shine on their darkness, to shine on those places they can't see, to shine that attitude. I was the blessing of having somebody pray for it. How many have maybe had a mom or grandma paying for them? You being here is a result of that prayer. Even though grandma or mom may have said a few things, she didn't say half of what she wanted to say to you. She prayed for you. Said, and it made me, you know, John talks about it's a prayer that we want God's light to come in and transform hearts. So that you can see that how you're living isn't trusting God. And John goes on to talk about the different kinds of sin, two types of sin, two types of wrongdoing. Like I said, one that leads to death, one that doesn't lead to death. One type we're to pray for, one we're not to pray for. What are these two types of sin that John's referring to? Although, John, we look like, hey, John, what kind of sin is it, right? If you read that, don't you want to know? He's like, man, I don't want to make sure I'm not doing that kind of sin. It's like, what is that? Sin that leads to death and one that doesn't. And John highlights, he says, all sin, all wrongdoing is sin. What are these two different kinds of sin? In Old Testament Judaism, it would have been common understanding what he was talking about. And you're like, really? Common? Well, because there were sacrifices in the Old Testament were meant for sacrifices for sin done in ignorance or unintentionally. That's one kind of sin. The other, and that was the kind of sin that you went and you did a sacrifice for, that God would forgive. You do this animal sacrifice. Hey, we'd forgive that. I didn't know. Did you know that you and I sin in ways that we're clueless of? And your neighbor or your spouse goes, yeah, you're clueless, dude. You're clueless. That's what the sacrifice was for, the sin that does not lead to death. And I'll qualify it here in a little bit more. And the other kind of sin is the sin that we do out of choice, that results in two ways that we're dead. When people in Israel, Old Testament, sinned of choice, there are two things that were to happen. One is they were to get exiled from the community, which would be a good way, one way to go. What was the other way that would happen if they did a sin and chose to sin? They got killed. They got executed. Two types of sin. And so when John talks about a sin that leads to death, is a sin that is a result of intentional choosing to sin. A sin that does not lead to death is a sin of ignorance or unintentional. Two types of sin. We sin of ignorance. God, would you please reveal your light and love in their hearts so they can see their sin? The coolest thing about seeing that transforming work, I've been in places where you're like totally bothered by and maybe been mistreated by somebody, and you're not sure what to do. You're just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that happened. You know, that is totally out of place. You're broken heart about it. A week later, they come back to you. Hey, can I talk to you? You're thinking, oh man, here it comes. They're going to give me the riot act. And they say, you know, I've been thinking about what I said to you last week. And I just want to tell you I'm sorry. I just want to tell you that I was upset about some other things and what happened there. I just blew up. I was wrong on me to say what I said. Would you forgive me? Have you ever had somebody do that to you? Maybe I know I've done it. I say, hey, I was thinking about what I said or what I did. And I had to apologize to my kids more than once. More than twice. To say, hey, how I responded was not Jesus. How I responded to you, what I said, what I did, was not how God intended me. Would you forgive me? I was harsh. What I said was mean. Will you forgive me? Those things that we're praying, God, will you do a transforming work in people's hearts? It's kind of difficult. This, as we unpack this last chapter of the reality of the gospel. In 1 Peter 3:12, he writes, "For the eyes of the Lord," he's quoting Old Testament, I believe here, "for the eyes of the Lord are not on the," "for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." When we choose to walk away from doing what we know is right, that's not just sin, that's a sin of choice. That's choosing to do evil. God says he sets it. It means he can hear us. He's choosing not to listen to us and answer our prayers. Because we're choosing to walk in sin, choosing to walk away from them. Let's go on. Verse 18. "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of Man has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we who are in him, who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." We not only have a confidence in community of believers to respond and pray for us, but we have a confidence in what Jesus shows us. Anyone who has been born of God has fellowship with God, in relationship with God. When I love somebody, I behave differently than when I don't love somebody. We can give lots of lip service, but the difference is in how I live. I can say I love my wife, or I love my kids, or I love my friend, but how I behave towards them reveals whether that's true or not. Jesus gives us understanding of what is true and right. It reminds me of what John said earlier in 1 John 3:6. It says, "No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or knows him." This is not about being sinless. Because John says, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. And God's Spirit is not in you because you're speaking a lie. But he also said he preceded that in 1 John 1:9. Said, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So it's like, what are you talking about, John? We're to be... I think NIV says it succinctly. It says we are not to continue in our sin. Once we have God's Spirit and his word is revealed how we're living is wrong, if we're in relationship, in a love relationship, just like somebody says, hey, and I tell you, it's an old story, but I still think it's super illustrative. As for years, I used my sarcasm as good communication. And my wife began to say, "Scott, your sarcasm, your joking is hurting me." And she said, "How can your joke be funny if it hurts me?" She said that multiple times. And because of the hardness of my heart, I couldn't see it. I was ignorant and unintentional. It was only through Jackie's prayer and God's Holy Spirit power that it finally, the light bulb went on one day. It was like, what an obvious answer. Can something be funny if it hurts somebody? The answer, just if you're thinking about it, is no. It's not funny. People can laugh. We see it all the time in school, right? We see it at work. People laugh at terrible things. In fact, there's whole reels or digital stuff you can watch on YouTube of people's mishaps that you laugh and you're going, God, that dad just broke his tailbone. It looked funny. It looked kind of spazzy, but I'm laughing at somebody's getting hurt. You know, need to be changed by what Jesus is showing us. And for me not to respond to that in that moment is I was accountable. It's like unintentional, ignorant, and now I know. What do I do with it? If I don't respond to that, if I don't stop, I'm not walking in fellowship with the Lord. I don't love Him. I love my own decision, my own choices, better than I do what God's called me to be. We struggle. Part that whole walk of righteousness, walk of holiness, is walking towards the light. It is a lifetime of walking towards the light that we get to experience, to be transformed by the Word of God, to not continue in the sin that we're walking in. That is a sign. Talk about the hard gospel. We have a lot of people who say they're Christians. They believe in God. They may even believe that Jesus died for their sin, but they continue to walk in their sin. John preaches the harsh gospel. And it's not just the gospel that John's preaching. It's the gospel of Jesus. He says that once you know what the sin that you're committing is wrong, for you to continue in that means that you're not in relationship with God. Now, we can't get into the whole theological issues like, are they saved or not saved? You know what? That's for God to answer. What I know is that when God reveals something that I know is wrong and I continue in it, I have just walked out of the light and away from my relationship with God. That's the gospel truth that John preaches. And not only convicting, it's like, okay, I'm writing this message. It's like, oh man, Lord, what sins are He revealed to me that I'm continuing to walk in? Honestly, I didn't have any. I could say, here's a sin that I've been doing. And I shared with you last week about God's, Jackie and I were both tired. We got invited earlier in the week and was like, we're not sure we're going to go kayaking on Saturday because we're not sure if Scott's going to get his sermon done. And if his sermon's not done, he's cranky. Like, just wait till later week, we'll answer you. I knew that that was coming, and so I worked really hard to get it done and get it settled in my heart. And so I knew that that was what we were supposed to do. I knew the moment I got invited that I was supposed to do. Two reasons. One is, I need to get away out of town. As I'm home, I'm always doing projects, have my mind. And number two is, I wanted to grow a relationship. I knew the moment that that was an obedience to the Holy Spirit. And God was gracious to help me stay on track and get things done. But I had to choose. Say, is mowing the lawn important? Or is growing a relationship and enjoying the beauty of this area that God has given? We need to walk. We do battle daily. If I'm not choosing to turn from my sin daily, it's like as God reveals those things, I want to stay in the light. It will be transformative. I got great testimonies from you folks of how God's transforming your life, of issues that come up. Some of you are amazed at them sometimes. You're like, I can't believe the old me would have done this. The new me responded like this. I said, man, that's Jesus transforming you. That only happens as we respond to the light that God is showing us. It transforms how we live. And we know, I say, God, I'm walking away from light. I'm walking away from darkness towards light. When God reveals areas that don't fit in our relationship with Him, I can either ignore it or I can address it. Will I have the desire to spend time with God if when I ignore my sin? Will I want to hang out with God if I don't address my sin? I see it all the time as a church, whether it's a youth group or church. I can always tell. Let me just take that back. There's indications that people are not dealing with sin when they step away from church. I mean, they may just be going to another church that just got a lot better preaching than I do, or whatever. They got friends going there. They got a kids program. But I know that when people step away from church, there's things being revealed that they're saying, I don't want to address this. Why? Because who likes to come to church and feel conviction? Isn't that fun? No, conviction is fun only if we respond to it. Because then we see God's transforming, healing power in our hearts. And it doesn't go away. It's like, God, continue to convict me. I love who I'm becoming because of it. Am I all fixed up? No. God's got the next thing. Right? There's sins of ignorance and unintentional. If God were to show you and me all of our sins right now, we would just give up. God doesn't want us to give up. Just do what's in front of you. It will change your life. Children of God who face their sin know that Jesus will keep them safe from Satan's power. They know that Jesus is true, the true God and eternal life. The world's philosophy says that uncertainty is the only thing you can be sure about. You ever heard something like that? There's nothing sure in life. The only thing you can be sure of is that you don't know what's coming. You know what the one true God says? I am certainty. You can guarantee, you can bank it, you can build your life on it. You and your future are secure in me. 1 John ends with this one little statement. Ends with this last verse. Dear children, keep yourself from idols. Like, where did that come from? We haven't been talking about idols, or maybe we have. That there's Bible scholars like, hey, maybe part of the letter got lost. Maybe John was going to go into another chapter here. But for whatever reason, there was an issue. Idolatry was common in the Roman Empire. And you could say it's common in our empire. Things that we live for. Things that we build our life on. Things that we think matter. Things that we make us important. Things that we think that this will fulfill us. Regardless, John challenged us to keep ourselves from idols. It's interesting, this keep, because God had said earlier in verse 18, it says God will keep you safe, is a different word. Even though in English it's the same word, it's a different word in the Greek. This, children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep, translated, is keep, guard yourself. Guard yourself. Defensively guard yourself from idols. Be active, don't be passive. Be watching. I love what Peter says, right? He says, be alert, of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I can guarantee if there's a lion roaming around, I'm going to keep my eyes out. I was... We went canoeing yesterday, and Rich said he was down in Texas with his brother. And he said, oh, look at all these lakes. He said, can I go? Let's go. Can't we go kayaking in or swimming? He's like, well, maybe not swimming, maybe kayaking. He said, why? Well, there's alligators in there. He's like, oh, okay, alligators, not so fun. I said, what about that one? That is a beautiful, well, there's water moccasins in that one. Like, oh, gross. It's like, I'm thankful for the Northwest. No alligators and no water moccasins. But I'm saying if you were in those places, you would be alert. It's like you wouldn't be just like cruising under every tree. You'd be like out in the middle of the lake. It's like, I'm watching this. I am not going to allow this to take me out. And so John is saying, watch out. Guard yourself. Be defensive, not passive. Watching out for idolatry. Anything that would demand our affection or allegiance other than Christ. Do you have friends who call you out? Do you have friends who can say, hey, how you're living, man, what you just chose there is not how God called us to live. Are you that friend for somebody else? Where you are wanting to live in that kind of community to be free from complacency? Or there's a sin that you do that's really not that big a deal. I mean, really, it's not killing anybody. I'm not swearing. I'm not doing drugs. It's not that bad. I mean, really, this guy's a lot worse than me. Right? Justifying. Dangerous spot to be. As we close, it's this, chapter 5. I just reiterate the kind of the theme of 1 John. Jesus brings life. Jesus brings light. And Jesus brings love. Like just pithy, deep words to describe the walk with Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning that we got to do family business. In all different aspects. Family business also means preaching your word. To say, God, is there stuff that I'm not seeing that I've been ignorant of or unintentional that I need to pay attention to? Is there stuff that I'm tempted to walk in that I need to walk away from? Whether it's friends or Facebook or watching reels or TikTok. Lord, that you would say, hey, this is not leading to life. Would I be brave enough to say, God, would you show me and highlight the sin in my life so that I can walk in deeper intimacy, deeper relationship, deeper trust of who you are and live a transformed life. Lord, building up treasures not on this earth, but treasures in heaven. Lord, I want to be that guy. I want to be an influence on my friends for good. Lord, I want to be addressing the stuff that's not right. Lord, I want to be confessing my sin to you and confessing to my brother or sister when I don't live your kingdom. Lord, because I don't want to have a hard heart. Lord, I don't want to just give lip service to my faith. I want to be living the power of your Holy Spirit in a changed life. Lord, I just pray for any folks here who would respond to the sin that you have shown them. Lord, they would step out, and after service, if they would like to come up and receive prayers, say, God, I don't know. I think of Paul saying that there's no temptation that has got a hold of us that you haven't provided a way out. That God, you've provided a way out from those temptations, from those choices, Lord, so that we can make a different choice. Lord, I pray this morning as some are know the sin that you're convicting them about, that they would hear your voice, that they would walk in obedience, that you would empower them to walk away. And then for those who are not aware of any sin, Lord, they would be brave to say, God, would you show me so that I can walk and reflect your light in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.